Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, November 20th, 2018. We have about 15 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have small craft advisories, one for winds in effect from late tonight through Wednesday afternoon, and another one for hazardous seas in effect from Wednesday morning through Wednesday evening. And so winds 20 to 34 knots, seas 10 feet or higher out there. Usually those two advisories, as I've said many times, can go together. The wind, but sometimes there's a little bit of a lag. The winds will blow for a while, and then you'll see the seas start to rise because there's a direct connection there. The longer the wind blows over an open stretch of water, well, over any stretch of water, the higher those waves tend to get. We have southeast winds today in our marine weather forecast, 5 to 10 knots. Winds are very calm at Seaside a little while ago when I checked the winds on the beach at Seaside, Oregon. But the winds are going to pick up later on in the day as we have weather moving in. We have gusts to 15 knots late this afternoon. Wind waves from the southeast, 2 feet at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 2 feet at about 12 seconds. So we have those wind waves from the southeast. West swells coming in from further out to sea from the west, we could get a little bit of what they call confused seas activity out there when the forces are kind of going against one another and tend to make things a bit choppy out there. You'll see sometimes on the river when you have, say, a west wind and an outgoing, a strong outgoing ebb on the waters off Astoria here, those two forces going opposite directions from one another will cause chop in the river. From the friction, actually, of the wind on the waves. Let's see. And today we're going to be talking a little bit more about the effect of Trump administration tariffs on U.S. trade. And it's kind of an unexpected article, something you might not expect about the effect of that. So talk about that in just a minute. It's an article from gcaptain.com. Let's see. Let's take a look at our ship schedule for the day. We have 2 inbounders. We have 10 in the Astoria and Rice Island anchorage. We have 3 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Very early this morning, well, about 7 a.m. as I was driving to work, I glanced out at the river here and I saw a big car carrier coming in about 7 a.m. That was the Georgia Highway headed for the port of Portland. She could have either Toyotas or Hondas on board, but those car carriers are just so big and massive looking. They look very different from what we traditionally think of as a ship because their form follows function, and they are essentially big, very well designed, but very big floating parking garages that are designed to go to sea. Those ships can carry, the ones that come in here, 5,000-6,000 cars. So that was the Georgia Highway. Now, like we have later on today, we have 2 other vessels, the Peak Proteus, arriving from Japan, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She'll be there by about 4:30 p.m. I think she might be a wheat ship heading upriver later. The Luminous Ace is arriving from Japan. She's a car carrier. She'll be passing Astoria maybe about 9:30 p.m., headed for the Port of Portland. She has Hondas on board. And she could turn around, those incoming ones that go to the Honda berths in the Port of Portland, sometimes take Fords outbound with them from the U.S. to Asia. In our Astoria anchorages, we have in the downtown anchorage off the Astoria waterfront, we have the Supernova awaiting orders. She's going upriver to pick up potash eventually at the Port of Portland. The Stella Pearl and the New Honor are out there waiting. The Manusus P is awaiting orders. She's a wheat ship. It will pick up a wheat upriver eventually. The Bonita is awaiting orders. And at the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, there are 4 vessels there. The African Tern and the Spirit of Sea Trek. The Spirit of Sea Trek is going to be picking wheat up when she finally heads upriver. The Ultra Diversity is up there also. She's a potash ship. And the Pinnacle Bliss is a wheat ship. She's in the Rice Island anchorage also. And at the Port of Astoria, we have the Tunsen, loading logs there for export. Outbounders, we have the Global Innovator. She's leaving Portland with wheat on board at about maybe 12:30 p.m. So about 6:30 p.m. you might see her gliding past Astoria outbound. The Global Mirai is leaving Longview with wheat on board. She's leaving at about 6 p.m. So maybe 9:30 p.m. outbound. You'll see some running lights passing Astoria. And the Neba Galaxy is leaving Vancouver. She's a petroleum tanker. She'll be heading out about 11 p.m. So maybe about 5:30 in the morning, 5 or so, you might see, tomorrow morning, you might see her running lights going by past Astoria. Well, I've had questions from listeners lately about the effect of Trump administration tariffs on China, aimed at China, and what it's doing to industry and how that might be affecting ships. So I have a very interesting article that I came across on gcaptain.com, which is a portal for maritime news. It's also pretty industry oriented. So this is kind of unusual. I mean, if anything, they would probably tend to be pro establishment government sorts of things. So this is a rather unusual article to be there, although it is from Bloomberg News. So here we go. The man running the world's largest container shipping company says he has access to data that shows Donald Trump has so far failed to wean the U.S. off Chinese imports. Soren Sku, the chief executive of A.P. Moller Maersk, says Chinese exports to the U.S. are actually up 5 to 10% last quarter. Meanwhile, U.S. exports to China fell by 20 to 35%. It's an ironic development, Sku told reporters in Copenhagen on Wednesday. But after Trump has turned up the volume, the U.S. has only increased their imports from China even more. There are two reasons behind the development, Sku said. Firstly, the U.S. economy is doing well, so consumers there have more money to spend on imports, he said. Secondly, a lot of the really big U.S. companies are hoarding Chinese imports to buy as much as possible before tariffs kick in. When we talk to our customers, we hear from many of them that they want to bring in a lot of goods before the end of the year. Maersk imports about a fifth of the world's seaborne manufactured goods, so the company is in a unique position to gauge changes in global trade flows. Given Maersk's reliance on free trade, Sku hasn't shied away from criticizing Trump's tariffs in the past. Part of the problem is that Trump is fighting, quote, an asymmetric battle, he said, because China has a lot more clout than the U.S. when it comes to telling corporations how to act. Quote, here's a quote from him. Donald Trump can't tell Nike, Walmart, and the Home Depot that they can't import from China, he said. So they will continue to import and will work on solutions, and they may be a bit hit on their margins. Meanwhile, the Chinese state control companies don't need many signals from Beijing to lower their imports from the U.S., Sku said. The Maersk CEO also warned that China is having an easier time finding substitutes for U.S. products than the U.S. is in replacing Chinese imports. The large U.S. importers aren't considering building new factories in the U.S., he said. What they are considering is what they can buy in Vietnam, Bangladesh, or India. According to Sku, that should leave Trump with little choice but to strike a deal with China, which he says may come within the next quarters. But even if there is a trade deal between China and the U.S., Sku says Maersk will prepare for lower trans-Pacific trade next year. There will be a price to pay for container lines in 2019. So that doesn't affect us here on the Columbia River necessarily that much. We don't have much container service here. We do have export a lot of raw materials, which are dependent on the world economy, the state of the world economy. But at any rate, it's an interesting perspective from a maritime industry source on the effect of those tariffs on U.S. trade. You've been listening to the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.